Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. And actually, this trial is not in the book, but we are recruiting for patients. This first picture is actually our virus entering the muscle, and that's kind of our logo at Nationwide Children's Hospital. The clinical problem we're dealing with is directed at Becker muscular dystrophy because these patients uniquely have quadriceps muscle weakness, and that results in loss of ambulation and frequent falls. And our gene therapy strategy is directed at improving quadriceps muscle strength and producing what the FDA likes to use as their favorite term, clinically meaningful results. And we know that this, in Becker dystrophy, and in most of our cases, that includes Duchenne. The similarity between Duchenne and Becker is obvious to most of you. It's resistant to various approaches. Weight training has been tried, electrical stimulation has been tried, and anabolic steroids have been tried. But strategy we're employing is depends on the myostatin regulation of muscle size. And myostatin circulates as a propeptide complex, and then it is, in its dimer form, it is attached to the receptor at the muscle called the activin receptor. And this really controls muscle growth, but it can be inhibited by a number of different things, gene mutations, antibody, and I'll come to that in a minute, and peptides. And follistatin is a peptide that inhibits myostatin. This is all an outgrowth of actually very elegant work that was done by Se-Jin Lee. He developed a knockout mouse called Mighty Mouse. When myostatin was knocked out, the mouse grew to disproportionately large size. But also then later on, the industry, the cattle industry, took this up and developed what's called the double muscle cow, which is also a myostatin inhibited genetic trait of the cow. And finally, there was a newborn born with a gene mutation in myostatin, and Catherine Wagner was instrumental in bringing this to attention. And this child was larger in size than normal. So we have very good evidence that blocking the myostatin pathway will increase the size of the muscle. And the first major outgrowth of this was the so-called Mayo 29 study in various adult forms of dystrophy that was sponsored by Wyeth, and Catherine Wagner and I had a role in bringing this to 11 centers using an antibody to myostatin. Unfortunately, it basically didn't work. There was no clinical effect from this particular antibody. So that's where our interest became developed into follistatin. Follistatin, we were able to put into a virus called adeno-associated virus. When we inject this into muscle, follistatin is secreted and blocks the myostatin pathway, and guess what happens? The muscle gets larger in size. We took a particularly, novel strategy at follistatin gene. It's a small gene, but it's alternatively spliced, and if you preserve the C-terminal, what you end up with is a form of follistatin that is a circulating isoform of follistatin as opposed to a tissue bound. And all of our studies have been done with this so-called FS-344, the circulating isoform, because with less tissue binding, there are presumably, at least this was our hypothesis when we started, fewer adverse effects. And indeed, that's been true. The studies had to be validated in preclinical studies, and Brian Caspar was instrumental in this when he injected the virus containing the follistatin gene into the MDX mouse. The muscles on the on your left side, you can see are particularly enlarged, and there was even a remote effect of follistatin if you look along the paraspinal muscles. And in these mice, the grip strength, both hind limb and forelimb grip strength, increased. And quite remarkably, the CK dropped in the middle panel where it says FS. The CK dropped in the MDX mouse, and there's a picture there of increasing hind limb strength. So the question was, can the mouse studies predict a safe trial and efficacy if we brought it to the clinic? And here's where my compulsive long-term experience and failures in clinical trial came to fruition. I said, if we're going to move this to clinical trial from the mouse, we must prove that it works in the non-human primate. And so we basically simulated what we would do in the non-human primate, what we would do in the clinical trial in the non-human primate. The three arrows that you see are injecting the quadriceps muscle, and this is these are three injections. These have been extended to 12 injections in the patients. But this is exactly how we do the clinical trial, inject the muscle, as you can see here. And we did, in fact, show with proof of principle now in a non-human primate that we get very enlarged muscle. And if you look there, you can see the control muscle, a muscle with a muscle-specific promoter carrying, mediating the expression of follistatin, and then the CMV promoter, which actually enlarges the muscle to the greatest extent. And the histology, if you can see that well enough, we can see enlarged muscle fibers when we did the biopsy in the non-human primates compared to control. This was very favorable as we looked to the potential for moving this forward, and the FDA was very satisfied with this because in the non-human primate we found virtually no side effects, no hematologic, no, the CK didn't rise in these non-human primates. Liver studies were normal, and kidney studies were normal. And this is what the FDA wants to see. And when we carried this to necropsy level in non-human primates that were carried out to 15 months, we found that full necropsy on all of the monkeys showed no abnormality, and there was no treatment-related abnormality that we found in any organ system. So the next step was bringing this to a clinical trial, and that has to be done through IND submission. I just show this picture really more for drama, but it actually is what happened. This is the size of an IND package. Often we're asked, why can't you bring these trials to the patients more quickly? Well, it takes a series of steps, and these studies can take up to 5 to 7 years in order to develop this. And this is the size of the IND package that we prepare at Nationwide Children's Hospital. It's quite impressive, 8 inches tall, and thousands of pages go into this. And the FDA accepted this clearly as we move forward. So then the other thing that's important is when you take this to clinical trial is to develop an outcome measure, and I'm fortunate to work with some very skilled physical therapists who we ask the question, if we improve quadriceps strength using a force generation like you see here, what effect will that have on 6-minute walk test, which was our primary outcome? And you can see there's a very high correlation. The blue is the 2-minute walk test and the green is the 6-minute walk test. And we had a very high correlation between if we increase quadriceps strength, we also increased the 6-minute walk test. And so we brought this to trial. The FDA approved the gene therapy in Becker dystrophy. Patients had to be 18 years and older, and the criteria for inclusion had to be they had to have weak quadriceps muscle, but they still had to be able to complete the primary outcome measure, which was the distance on the 6-minute walk test. And we did what's called a dose escalation study, where we did two doses. This is common in gene therapy trials. And what I'm going to show you in the next slide is the result of the first three patients we've done with Becker dystrophy at the low dose. And what you can see here on this slide is that basically two of our patients improved dramatically in their distance walked on the 6-minute walk test. The other patient improved to a limited extent. And on the lower left, you can see when we measured the follistatin, whether the follistatin gene was actually in the muscle using PCR, all the patients had the follistatin gene that we could recover in the muscle. So this is the first; these are the first three patients, and this so far is a successful gene therapy trial. Now we've petitioned back. We went back to the FDA and said, look, we've got very good results, no adverse effects, not a single adverse effect, and we're going to actually this Monday we'll be injecting our fourth Becker patient, and now we're going to high dose, so we're hoping for even more robust findings than we have up to this point. And actually, we're still recruiting for the Becker dystrophy patients. If anyone is interested, they can contact me. That's my email address, which probably is all over. It's in many articles and easy to find on the Nationwide Children's website, and that's the telephone number. So we are recruiting for this trial. We are optimistic, and then since probably there are more patients with Duchenne dystrophy than there are Becker, if we can get an effect in the Becker patients that's sustained, this same trial can be rolled over to the Duchenne patients. And in fact, we have experimental data that shows if we give follistatin with microdystrophin as a form of gene therapy, we correct the defect completely, which can't be done with microdystrophin alone. So this is my group at Children's Hospital. I couldn't really do anything without them. Brian Caspar did all of the experimental mouse work you can see here, and we have a superb group there. And I want to also give special thanks to PPMD, because we wouldn't be doing this clinical trial unless we had been funded by PPMD, and Sharon and Pat were very instrumental in making that happen. So I'll stop there, and thank you very much for your attention.